I'll be reading from Luke's Gospel, chapter 18. Our reading for today comes from Luke 18, verses 9 through 14. This follows immediately after what we looked at last week, the first eight verses. Now we're into the next little story. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself. God, I thank you that I am not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Lord Jesus Christ, we give you thanks for this word, for the power of it, for the way that you speak to us through it. Open our ears, open our hearts, so that we might learn from you this day, and that we might be conformed more closely to your image. In your precious name we pray. Amen. When I was a child, I had a lot of time on my hands. It's funny how that changes when you become an adult, right? Suddenly you don't have time on your hands. But when I was a child, I had a lot of time on my hands. And one of the things that I liked to do was to flip through the books that my parents had collected on their bookshelves. You know, I read encyclopedias. I stayed away from the snakes portion. That was kind of scary. But the rest of it I liked. But anyway, some of the other books they had. One of the books in particular that I remember was this comic strip book entitled Church is Stranger Than Fiction. Anybody ever heard of that or seen it? Church is strange. It is, right? Church is stranger than fiction. Some of the things that happen in church, you could not write fiction stories about. You couldn't think of those stories before they happen. It's just amazing what happens in churches sometimes, right? Anyway, one of the comic strips, one of the little cartoons that I remember seeing, I couldn't find it for today to show you. I mean, that would have been great, right? But couldn't find it. One of the comic strips was a couple of guys, a couple of ushers in the church, and they were looking over the new offering plate that they had just got for the church. It's a new model of offering plate, and they were really excited about this. And the one was saying to the other, look at this. This new offering plate, it's so cool. If you put in nothing, then it sounds a buzzer. So you pass it, you know. But if you put in a $20, I mean, this was like $1980. So if you put in a 20 or more, then it takes a picture, and so you should smile as it. So as you're going by, it either takes your picture or it sounds a buzzer. And they were all just ecstatic about this, and I thought that's pretty funny. I don't know that ever happened in a real church. But wouldn't that be something if we had, boy, that's one of the dangers of having offering collections the way we do them. The way we give offerings is by passing a plate so everybody can see what you do. And that's kind of that's the reason this comic strip is funny. It's because we don't really feel comfortable having other people know what we give to the Lord. And rightly so. I mean, what we do as an offering to the Lord is between us and God. And it should not be the case that I know what you give and you know what the other person gives. And this is supposed to be private stuff so that we don't make each other feel uncomfortable, so that we don't look down on other people, so that we're not like the Pharisee, right? I give a tenth of all that I get. Ha! But I know that you don't. I'm not pointing to anyone in particular, because I don't want anybody to feel uncomfortable about that. Even though you should give a tenth of all you get. Right? Yeah. Church is stranger than fiction sometimes. While we're on the topic of this offering business, this is why, if you don't know this, this is why it's important that we have these little pink envelopes. So that when we give to the Lord, we can give whatever you can give. You put whatever you put in that little offering envelope, and everybody's offering looks the same. No? You can put a check in for, I'm not even going to put a number on it, for a huge amount of money, or you can put a check in for a little bit amount of money, or you can just put a couple of quarters in there. You put it in the envelope, and as far as everybody else is concerned, you've given to the Lord. That's good, because we don't want folks to feel uncomfortable because of where they are financially, or whatever. You know, it levels the playing field, it gives us all equality before the Lord, and it's also good because it helps our treasurer prepare those end-of-the-year tax forms, right? I mean, this is something that we like to do at the end of the year. If you itemize your deductions for your tax return, then any charitable contributions, you know how this works, right? Any charitable contributions you give can be deducted from blah, 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 IRS, fall asleep, right? But, you know, maybe it's helpful for you if that exceeds the standard deduction, you know, how it works. If the young folks here, if you haven't started filling out your own tax forms because you don't work yet, someday you will and you'll learn all the joys of all this stuff. It's just moderately confusing and, okay, really confusing and really, really boring. But it's important that we have these envelopes, right, Maggie? So that we can record these things and make sure we know how much we've given. Oh, wait a minute. Haven't we just turned into the Pharisee then? In a sense. I mean, our culture encourages us to keep track of how much money we give to not-for-profit organizations, whether it's a church or the Salvation Army or whatever, so that we can reduce the taxes that we pay and have more stuff. Isn't that great? Look at how good I am. I got to reduce my taxes by $18,000because I gave so much money to not-for-profit organizations. Isn't that marvelous stuff? Our culture encourages us to play the role of the Pharisee. It really does. And I'm not going to complain about that because as much as you do, I like to lower my tax amounts. You know, I don't want to pay all this money to the government, even though they do lots of wonderful stuff for us. Because I want to do my own stuff with my own money. But even the little act of putting an offering into a pink offering envelope is something that subtly might draw us into that mindset of saying to the Lord, look at how much I've given. I fast twice a week, the Pharisee says. I abstain from food for a meal so that I can spend time in devout prayer. And I want you to notice that I'm doing this, right? You notice that I'm fasting while I'm praying, everyone noticing the good Pharisee here. And I give a tenth of all that I get. This is what the attitude of the Pharisee has. Our culture kind of encourages us to do that. And I'm okay with it. I'm okay with that tax benefit. I think the danger with it, though, is that we tend to measure our devotion to the Lord in terms of actions. We determine how devoted we are to God by how much we give in the offering plate or by how often we come to church. If you are a really super Christian, you'll come to church on Sunday morning and on Wednesday evening and on Sunday evenings, now that we have Sunday evening services. If you're really devout about your faith, then you will just come to all of those and look at how much I come to church, right? I mean, this is the same kind of spirit that the Pharisee had. I'm so religious that I will do all these things for the Lord. I give a tenth of all that I have. I'm here every time the church door opens. You should give a tenth of all that you have. And you should be here every time the church doors open. These are all good things to do. But the spirit with which we do them is more important than the things that we do. This is the point of the parable that Jesus told. Jesus had an interesting history with Pharisees and tax collectors. They're kind of common figures in the stories that he tells. They're common figures in the company that he kept, too. Jesus hung out with Pharisees. Just a few chapters earlier in Luke, he had been eating with a Pharisee at the Pharisee's home and had a story happen there. The very next chapter, Jesus was hanging out with tax collectors and sinners, and the Pharisees all of a sudden didn't like that too well. These are common folks that that Jesus hung out with all the time, Pharisees and tax collectors, and he told this parable specifically to one of those groups. Did you catch it? At the very beginning of the story, this is another one of those parables that tells us the meaning of it before we get into it. Luke records, in order to tell this story to those who celebrated their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else, Jesus told this parable. He's telling us up front. Jesus is talking to these Pharisees, the Pharisees who are the Pharisee in the story, who love to be at the temple every time the temple doors are open and record how much they give so they can lower their contributions to Rome, I guess, at the end of the year. Maybe that's how it works. I don't know. This is a parable with a point. Lots of parables are kind of soft and warm and gentle and make us feel good inside. But this parable is very sharp. It's very pointed because it's directed to the wrong behavior, or rather, the right behavior with the wrong attitude. We should give a tenth of all that we have to the Lord because that's the standard He set forth for us in Scripture. It reminds us that everything we have comes from the Lord. We should be here in this building every time the doors open for worship because that's who we are. We are people made to worship the Lord. But if we do those things as ends in themselves, then we're missing the boat. The point of the parable that Jesus tells is not that we should just be tax collectors and be sinful folks, but that we should be people who have the right kinds of attitudes when we do the things that we should do. What's important is this. Jesus says, true religion begins with the attitude of the heart. Your true religious behavior, true religious construct, your religious identity begins with your heart's attitude. The behavior follows, but it must follow. This is the important thing to remember in our series is about things to remember. The thing to remember from this parable is that the attitudes come before the actions. If we do actions to praise the Lord, to give to the Lord, to do religious things, if we read the Bible every day, if we do all this stuff in order to sort of influence ourselves to become more devoted to God, then that's kind of putting the cart before the horse. Those are good things to do, and we should do them. But the important thing is to have the attitude first, to want to be in the house of the Lord, to want to give to the Lord, to want to praise the Lord. And then naturally the actions will flow from it. The reason Jesus took the Pharisee opposed to the tax collector in this story is so that the people around him could identify with the actions that are happening here. They know who Pharisees are. They know who tax collectors are. And they know, remember, that tax collectors are kind of not very savory types. Remember, they're the collaborators, tax collectors are. In Jesus' day, the tax collectors were the Jews who worked for Big Brother Rome and extorted money out of their neighbors so that Rome could build roads and pay the emperor and all this kind of fun stuff. And anything extra that they got, they could keep, right? So they were not very welcome folks in society. But the hero of the story is a tax collector. The hero of Jesus' parable is the guy who was not necessarily doing the right stuff, but had the right attitude. Lord, have mercy on me. I'm a sinner. He didn't even look up to heaven. This, I think, is where we get our idea to train our children. When you pray, you bow your head, right? It's from this story and from other places too, but the tax collector who was worshiping the Lord, who was praying to the Lord, did not even look up to heaven. He bowed his head and he said, Lord, have mercy on me. I'm a sinner. That's the right attitude. That's the attitude that we should have when we come before the Lord. It's not about how great we are for having come to church every time the door is open or for having filled up the offering plate with lots and lots and lots of money. That's not it at all. What's important is that we remember that we are under Christ. It's important that we remember how wonderful our Savior is. It's important that we sing songs that remind us about what the Lord has done. Thank you for the cross. If it were not for the cross, we would be nothing. So it's important that we sing songs like that. It's important that we hear scriptures read about Paul's ministry, the second Timothy reading that we heard from Kevin a few minutes ago. Paul is recounting how he has run the race. It's important that we hear the story of Paul, this hero of the early faith. Half the New Testament he wrote. I mean, that's a lot. He had every reason to be puffed up in himself, to have the Pharisees' attitude. Look at how good I am. Look at how much I've done. And yet he says, did you catch it in this passage? He says, I've just run the race. I thank the Lord that the crown is waiting for me, but I've been beaten up. I've been persecuted. And all of it is because of what Christ has done. He did what he did, not as a way of being the good Pharisee. He could have been a really good Pharisee. That's the road he was on before Christ found him. But then he turned into someone who was truly humble before the Lord. That's what we are called to be. We are called to be the tax collector who is very aware of our sinful nature. None of us in this room is free from it. All of us in this room have sinned before the Lord. I mean, if I'm being honest with you, I wouldn't do this because it would embarrass me and embarrass my wife. I could tell you all the ways that I've sinned. Well, not all of them. I could tell you maybe in the past week what I've done that might not have been so good. I could. Before the Lord, we all have this standing where we are in great need of who Jesus is and what he has done for us. That's the beginning point for our walk as Christians, for our walk as disciples. The beginning point is our identity as people who need the Lord, and then our identity gets transformed. This is what baptism is all about. When we baptize, or when we are baptized, we are bringing onto ourselves the new identity that Jesus Christ has brought for us, has won for us. Baptism is about a symbol that represents a life that has been changed. A person who was sinful now is redeemed. It's a picture of salvation. It's a picture of death to self and resurrection to new life. That's why it's important. That's why it's important that it's right there in our worship space so that we can see it, so that we can remember it. Show of hands, just out of curiosity, how many of you were baptized right there in that baptistry? Very good. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. How about that? You remember, right? It was right there. It's a symbol of a new life where you turn from tax collector to the Pharisees' actions, right? With the tax collector's attitude. What Jesus would have us to do is to do what the Pharisee does. Fast twice a week, great. Be in tune with God, however that works, whether it's abstaining from food for a certain period of time, if that's your thing. I personally, I love food too much. I don't know if I could, that might be an obstacle for me. That's something I probably ought to work on. But in any case, get in tune with the Lord on a regular basis. That's the important part. And the other important part is to give to the Lord of what you earn. That sets everything in the right perspective. We don't own anything that we get. Everything belongs to the Lord. He created it all in the first place. He even created in us the will to work, the ability to work and earn money. What's money? It's nothing. It's stuff that the Lord has given to us. So we symbolize our thankfulness by giving to him. We do those things. We do our acts of devotion. We do our acts of discipleship. But we always, always, always have the attitude of the tax collector that says, I'm nothing. I'm not necessary. I'm not that important. All that I am is an example of what Christ has done. Our lives, when they are correctly tuned to discipleship, are tuned so that Christ is magnified and we become less. We do our work so that others can be pointed to him. That's it. That's the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. When we come to worship together, we come with lots of baggage. We come with different stories on our minds, different things on our hearts. And that's all wonderful stuff. When we come in here, we are people who are in need of a Savior. All of us. For all of those different reasons. And so when we worship together, we put our lives before him and say, we are yours, as a way of reminding ourselves whose we are and how we should live. When we train our children, we train them to bow their heads and fold their hands when they pray. I mean, this is good stuff. We train them to sing songs in front of people so they're not scared to do it when they're older. Right? You see what's going on here? Okay. Very good. Good way to go, Mom, Dad. This is good stuff. We do that so that they get the behavior ingrained in them. But at some point, we have to teach them, this is not just about what you do, it's about who you are. And if we're not modeling that ourselves, then that message won't get transferred over. Right? This is what discipleship, training in discipleship is all about. We have the actions right, but then it comes from the core of our being, being humbled before the Lord. When it comes to 2 weeks from now, when we have our harvest offering for the Church of God in Michigan, it's another opportunity for us to give in humility to the work that the Lord is doing in our state. Different churches, different denominations feel kind of differently about organizational kinds of things and whether we should give to people that are sort of higher than us. Maybe we should just kind of keep it to ourselves. You know, this is us. And everybody else can just do whatever they want. Well, we are a connectional people. The Church of God is a connectional organization, which means we as a congregation can do what we want here, but we are connected to other churches. We are connected to missionaries around the world through this larger organization. And the state of Michigan, the Church of God in Michigan, is the one of the organizations that we're connected to. It's kind of sort of above us in the hierarchy, sort of. And this offering is a good way for us to enact the parable in a congregational form. To say to the Lord, we are just your people. We are sinful people. We need your grace. And yet we are going to do what the Pharisee has done and give. And be glad in giving to the work that is above us. The work that we could not do ourselves. The harvest offering goes to predominantly missions work, supporting missionaries in different parts of the world. None of us can do that ourselves. I mean, we're here. We can't go to other parts of the world because we're here. Now, maybe in the future, we'll get to go somewhere and that'll be kind of fun. And it'll be a good ministry opportunity. But for now, we're here. So we support the work that happens in other places. It's an important way for us to be connected with other Christians doing important work in other places. That's why we do it. This whole work of discipleship is summed up in this one parable. Have the right attitude. Do the right actions. And all the time, remember to pray the right way. It's not just about the actions or the attitudes. It's about how we come before the Lord in prayer. Remember, the whole parable is about two guys who went to the temple to pray. When we come together to pray, how do we do it? Do we pray as Pharisees? Do we pray as tax collectors? I mean, the parable is really clear. We should pray to the Lord as people who are the tax collectors, the people who are in need of salvation, the people who are in need of grace. It affects everything that we do. Not just the outward actions that we have, but even our inward prayer lives. Teach us to pray, Lord. Teach us to pray. One last application. I hate to bring this up, but it's something that I brought up before the church council, and it's something that I brought up at our business meeting a week and a half ago. It's something I'm going to bring up now. We, at our church council, our business meeting, rather, our annual business meeting a week and a half ago. We passed the budget for the next year. Good. It's good to have a budget. And this is something that's happened in previous years. The budget is up here in terms of how much we're calling for to spend. And the amount of giving is usually about here. Do you follow that? Right? Our budget is up here. And usually we're around here. And in the past, it's worked out okay. This is a challenge for us. This parable is a challenge for us because it says something about how we live as people under the Lord. The challenge that we have as people under this new budget is to say, you know what? If we're going to do ministry at this level, our giving cannot be at this level. It must rise to the occasion. But it has to rise to the occasion with the attitude of the tax collector. Do you follow me? So when we do the $89,000 of ministry that we're going to do this coming year, it's about, I think, what the budget was this year around. When we do that, and when we give sacrificially so the work of the Lord can be done, we have the right attitude when it happens. That's the important part. I have no doubts that this church will do what it needs to do in the coming year, whether we meet the budget or not. That's not really the issue. We're going to do what we need to do. What matters is that we have the attitude that says, we are just humble servants, we are sinners who need grace, and we're the ones who are called to do these great works for the Lord. That's a challenge for us. And it all comes from the attitude that we have when we come to pray. The closing hymn that I'd like us to sing is one that I'll lead here from the guitar in a minute. Teach me to pray, Lord. Teach me to pray. It's one of the hymns in our hymnal. And here are the words. This is my heart cry, day unto day. I long to know thy will and thy way. Teach me to pray, Lord. Teach me to pray. Do you recognize these lyrics? Some of you do. Some of you are, yeah, okay. Our heart's cry should be every day to be in the same camp as the tax collector. Not the one who's abusing other people by the work that they do, but the one whose heart is right before the Lord. So that when we pass the offering plate next Sunday, when we give to the Lord, we can do so not with eyes that are looking to see what Johnny gave, or prideful hearts that say, look at how much I've given, like the Pharisee has given. We won't install the buzzer in the offering plate. We won't install the camera in the offering plate next week. And that might be, you know, down the road as a gag thing. But no, we won't do that. That's not the spirit. The spirit is to know the Lord's will, to know the Lord's way, and to follow him with everything that we have. Lord God, we give you thanks for this word and for the story that you told so many years ago, the story that calls us to faith, that calls us to right actions, but more importantly, calls us to right attitudes. Lord, we pray that you would make us your people in deed and in spirit, and that as we undertake a new budget, as we undertake raising children, as we undertake our own spiritual lives, that we would do so as your humble people, people who know who we are and whose we are and to whom we should give thanks. Teach us to pray, Lord, and give us grace so that we might spread this word, this message, to those who are in need around us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.